Hey man, first off, welcome to another episode of Diapers and Haircuts.
My bad. Welcome to another episode of Diapers and Haircuts. This is your boy Lowe's, aka Mr. Crop Circle himself, aka the fat nigga that love food, aka hey, I'm controlling the board now.
Are you the guru of sound?
I don't know, man. That's one guy.
Okay. I just want to stir the pot.
But you can hear his voice here on the mic. This is your boy. Say what's up to the people, Drew.
My children, it's your beer guy. How are you? How was your week? How was your weekend? What are you doing? What are you drinking? Brew anything? Drink anything? Smoke anything? Fuck anything? Sorry. Just trying to keep going here, dude. You know what I mean? What do you want me to do?
I love it, man. Let's do it. So this episode, we have a jam-packed season 4, episode 4. God damn, we are running through the season,
still
bro.
Tipping on four falls. Rep them four falls.
Yo, I got a bone to pick with your guy, DaBaby. A couple weeks ago, he got into a situation.
You mean the debacle?
The debacle.
That's the name of this episode.
Right. DaBaby has a situation with his baby mama, Dana Lee, and her brother. Her brother showed up. It was just a havoc at a bowling alley, right?
But what a waste of talent, dude. Like,
hold on. Are we going to talk about the weeks first before we get into that, or do you want to just dive into this?
I kind of want to dive into it, dude.
All right, you know? Let's go in head first. Let's do it.
I'm sorry, bro. Like, my thing is that DaBaby was one of those, I don't want to say like borderline gangster rapper, but like he's a little bit more harder, like street cred wise, versus J. Cole.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying like on the microphone lyricist. I'm talking okay. About just their persona as a person, right? Like
J. Cole gives me college student vibes.
But say like out of Atlanta, there's like Andre 3000 and Gucci Mane.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
I agree.
So it's kind of like that. Now, not saying that, you know, J. Cole's as weird as Andre 3000.
Right.
But,
or Andre 3000 won't slap the shit out of somebody, which I duly believe he will.
I do too.
But.
And we'll fuck up some lemon pepper wings.
But he, you know, he's not looked as a, you know, a street dude with street cred, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. type of lifestyle.
Yeah, he's more of the artist lifestyle and all that stuff.
Exactly.
And that's fine. But like, so DaBaby came out of Charlotte, and like when he hit.
He hit hard.
And, you know, I mean, literally. But with that, he came out there with it, right? And, you know, just his style, his flow. Mm-hmm. Like, this man wouldn't even let the beat drop. He's, you know.
Right.
Hitting it. Yep. And then, you know, he's dropping album after album. Some has some meaning to it. Some don't. Some's fun. And then his music videos are he's a very animated, like, he's created his persona to be an animated character or something like that.
Right.
This man pulled back the Jabberwockies out this bitch.
Yes, I remember that.
You know what yep. I mean? So it's like, and even his live performances is just as larger than life, cartoonish, animated, and all that stuff. And like, he really found a lane. Like, if you watch his music videos and see his live performances, it's actually pretty good.
Yes.
You
know? He has boatloads of talent.
And I think we talked about it a little bit last season when he made a statement about gay people and all that stuff. And
that was
he
flag,
was on stage.
That was flag one. Well, no, that was probably like flag like four. But
yeah.
But yeah, like, what did he say? He said, if you're not doing certain things in the parking lot, put your phones in the air. If you're not doing X, Y, and Z, put your phone in the air. And it was really tasteless.
And it was derogatory.
Derogatory.
And it was like, it was totally unnecessary. And it's like, come on, man. Like, what are you doing, right?
Right.
And with you saying that, you know, here you are at a major concert.
With thousands of people around you.
Fresh off COVID, too. Like, people are legit trying to get back to normal.
Right.
You
right,
know?
Right, right.
So, you know, sensitivity is high and all that stuff. And you say some stupid shit like that. And I mean, he almost got canceled.
I'm surprised he didn't. How did he dodge that, though?
I mean, time heals all wounds is the best way to say it. Because he remember he gave a PR statement and it was trash.
Nobody believed that PR.
It was trash. Well, when he first apologized, then when he came back with the actual text statement, you can tell, all right, somebody wrote that shit because he couldn't spill half them words, right? And it worked.
Right.
It worked. And now, fast forward, you have this singer out of I think she's out of California, Dani Leigh.
Okay.
And Dani Leigh, you know, she makes good music. You know,
never
and
heard her stuff.
She was on her way to like really getting out there, and then she ended up hooking up with, you know, the baby,
because
you know, girls like bad boys,
and had a baby, right?
And they had a baby, and which was his third baby.
That's a red flag right there.
That's my baby, not my baby. But anyways, so
that is a part of a song that he did.
It is. So you start seeing, you know, domestic disputes coming out on social media lives and all that stuff.
Yes. A whole Twitter feed. Twitter feed,
Instagram lives. Yes. Like, he's literally kicking out Dani Leigh and his child out of the house.
With another girl standing right there.
So he can fuck her. You know what I mean? Like where the fuck do you get off, dude?
Yes.
And we need to tackle this in so many different ways, right? Because, like, one, we have to look at his upbringing and underlying tendencies of where he came from.
Okay.
But one, I don't know, because I think his dad died when he was younger or something like that. I don't know. But I'm not going to fact check that right now. Please correct us if we are wrong. But the thing is, you know, when it comes down to it, like, he's always lived the fast life. Now he's out here, you know, creating these, you know, these seeds and all that stuff. And now he's with someone who actually has some type of stardom.
Right.
Unlike, you know, his previous baby mamas. No offense to them or anything like that.
Right.
And, you know, she's saying, like, yo, I'm not going to put up with this shit. And, you know, if you're going to lay down and, you know, create this baby, you're going to fucking be here. And you're not going to fucking disrespect me. And the way that he was treating her, like, yo, she went on live with the shit quick.
Yeah.
With the quickness. And it was to the point where, like, I think she was, like, 1 to 2 months in postpartum.
Wow.
Like, baby's fresh. You know what I mean? Like fresh into this world.
And you know what's dope about the internet, yo? Like, legit dope about the internet? This shit is never going to die.
Mm-mm.
There will always be a feed of the baby kicking out the child's mother on Instagram Live or Facebook Live or Twitter Live, whatever they were on. But it's always going to be in circulation. It would be one Google search away.
Right. And here comes the aspect of the toxic masculinity that's always been around for like the past 5 years, right?
Right.
Like, for him to sit there and kind of like, you know, whisper sweet nothings in her ear and make her feel comfortable and, you know, to be vulnerable enough to like allow them to create a baby.
Move her in.
All this stuff, and then be like, all right, you know, hey, Shawty, you got to go. Like,
right.
What? Like, no, like, that, no. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, some shit died down. The next, you know, here they are back again with another Instagram Live.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, like, in the house going ballistic on his ass. Not putting hands on him.
But snapping. Like,
snapping.
Mad,
and
upset.
Calling him everything but the baby and a child of God. Right. And, so after that, like, you didn't hear anything about it. So, like, you didn't know what the custody battle is or anything like that. And also, I try not to be on TMZ that much neither. But, like, when shit hits, when it gets to Twitter, Instagram, then makes it ways to Facebook. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
Let me open up TMZ.
Let me go see what's going on.
What they talking about now.
Off topic. You remember World Star Hip Hop?
It's still around.
It is?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, yeah. That was one of my go-to websites outside of
World
TMZ.
Star.
But I think the owner of it passed away or died or something. And I just stopped going on that website after a while. But that was one of my sources. The reason why I brought it up, that was one of my sources that I would go to.
Shout out to World Star Hip Hop. But so now let's get to, you know. So apparently, if I'm not mistaken, because I'm looking at both videos of the fight, and of this freestyle that we just played.
Right.
He's wearing the same outfit.
Why would you not tell me that, Jim, when we played this freestyle? Wait a minute. Is he?
I think he is.
Wow, that's deep. Okay.
So this man snapped on the microphone and then went to a bowling alley and caught up with Dani Leigh's brother.
I think Dani Leigh's brother walked on him.
Well, regardless, let's touch on that because now we don't know the full facts here. So, like, just for the listeners,
I'm sorry. If my sister calls me and tells me that a guy is kicking her out the house and she's pregnant with the baby by the baby, right? I'm gonna walk up to the individual also.
Well, Lowe's,
here's the thing. And ask questions. At the very least, I'm asking some questions. I don't need some answers, my guy.
Here's the thing, Lowe's. You didn't have to have your sister to tell you because you saw it online.
Oh, that's even worse.
Exactly. So you are.
So when he finally caught up with the dude, he goes to approach him and say something to him as a brother should or an uncle or a male should. And in the video, they jump him.
Yeah. In the lanes of the bowling alley. Niggas are slipping.
He grabbing him by the hair and like beating him.
Like people are trying to like legit throw punches and their feet are going out from underneath him.
Right.
And you know, and of course it shows that the baby threw the first punch. So yes. With that, you know, that's a whole nother world of hurt. Right. Like he has fucked up and he has definitely created a situation to where he may not be there for all of his kids, let alone the main one that we're talking about now.
I feel like, but at a certain point, man, you shouldn't be fighting at the, how old is he? He's gotta be 30.
I think he's like late 20s maybe, but.
He's knocking on the door of 30.
Okay. But right? I'll give you that. But my thing is just that, once again, that's what I talk about, his upbringing.
Okay.
People who didn't have the right guidance in their life when they were growing up, they revert to what they know.
Yeah.
You gonna sit here and talk shit? Like, case in point, let's go back to the verses of 3-6 Mafia and Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah, they too old to be fighting too.
You know what I mean? Like, the dude baited you into one of his catchphrases to say, suck my dick, right? Yeah. And then you want to sit up here and catch your attitude.
Right.
And I get it. Like, old school mentality. Like, you know, that's law. Like, you can't say no shit like that.
I get it, too.
You know, that's his catchphrase.
It is.
It legit is.
Shut the fuck up.
He hits you with all of them.
Right.
And so, nigga, suck my dick. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then he tried to go into a song. You going to throw a water bottle at him? So, going back to where we are now with the baby. Of course, you should automatically know that Danny Lee's brother fucking hates your guts. Because you an ain't shit nigga.
You are dogging his sister on Instagram Live.
Right.
This isn't funny, but this is...
It's not funny.
It's nigga shit at the finest.
Right. And it gets to the point where it's like, if you walked into the spot and you saw him, or if he rode up on you, you need to separate yourself from the situation.
You need a bouncer.
Here's the thing about it. He had bodyguards, and those were the niggas that was beating him up.
So not one of the bodyguards decides to snatch him up and say, come on, man. After he throws the first punch and connects,
he throws the first punch, and then like they kind of went to the boat, into the lanes,
right.
And then they pulled the baby back, and everybody else is now jumping him.
But the baby grabbed him and threw him on the ground.
Yeah.
So how did he get back into the picture? Your bouncer needs to snatch him and exit stage left after that first punch is pulled.
When,
we should not have seen the baby in that video at all.
Not even that. When there's talk going on, bouncer needs to be in the middle of them,
yep.
Separating that shit, like, off break.
So how do you spin this as a PR guy? As a public relations guy? Like, you just saw your number one artist that signed to your label punching a guy in the middle of a family bowling alley.
Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. There's no way, because that angle of that camera literally shows the baby throwing that punch. And he threw the first punch, and he initiated the shit, pretty much, because like, it was verbal.
Yep.
But you initiated the violence. You got to go, my guy.
You got to see.
And he's already been in trouble as well, too. So, like, this shit doesn't fucking help. And, of course, what is the brother going to do? He's going to press fucking charges. The only way he doesn't is because...
He got some stuff on him.
No, it's because of the fucking... it's because of his sister.
No, I think he probably... If he got some stuff on him, like if he is a, you know... drug dealer or something, he doesn't press charges, right? That's the street code. But if he's a stand-up individual, you should definitely press charges against the baby and walk away with a few million. Let's be honest.
But now, mind you, you have your sisters like, yo, that's the father of my child.
He don't want to be the father of the child. He just kicked the mom out with the baby in arms.
You're right. But remember, there's emotions, Los.
There is a lot of emotions, man. And
there's a lot of vulnerability as well, too.
And I don't know. We're not in the inside of their relationship, right?
We're not.
Dan and Lee could be a complete asshole to the baby, 100%, right?
We don't know that, yeah. But I hear you.
But in no way. You got to think that you have people that look up to you 24/7. Yes, I know you make music, and I know what your music stands for, but at the same time, you gotta understand that there's kids that are 11, 12, 13, 14 years old that are listening to your music because, let's be honest, if you got an iPhone, you're access to all of the music. It's not like you got to go find it. Remember back in the day, we had to go find the 3-6 Mafia album and kind of hide it from our family because it had too much raunchiness going on it. Mm-hmm. They can just pull it up on their phone and they got it instantaneously. Mm-hmm. So you have a group of people that will come to your shows and look up as an icon that they want to be like when they grow up.
Yeah.
And you out here fighting other black individuals in the middle of a family bowling alley? Come on, Joe.
I mean, this is bad.
This is bad for the culture.
It is. It is. And it's also, you know, there's not that many rappers that come out of Charlotte. You know what I mean?
Not that many rappers that come out of North Carolina.
And, you know, the icing on the cake, and this is why, like I said, the name of this episode should be the debacle.
Right.
Is because the same day this man went on L.A. Leakers and fucking snapped on a freestyle.
Yep.
On two separate beats,
yep.
And just went for it.
Yep.
And then from there, later on that night, he decided to say, you know what? Fuck it. Because I'm a hood nigga.
At a certain point, man, you gotta leave the hood alone. If you wanna elevate and you wanna go to the next level. Because you gotta be honest. A lot of these execs, they don't look like us. A lot of CEOs don't look like us. They don't understand our culture.
And a lot of...
And I want the DaBaby to go to the next level and be a mogul, if you will.
I want him to get a Grammy.
I want him to get a Grammy. If he goes into acting, I want him to get an Oscar. I want him to be great for the culture, right?
He could be... I'm not trying to cut you off. He could be... He's one of those rappers that could be on the track of 50 Cent.
100%. I completely agree, right? 50 Cent, for instance, right? Yeah, we heard about him getting into little stuff. Remember when G-Unit first came out? It was fighting at the Vibe Awards and all that kind of stuff. I remember those days. But at the same time, 50 Cent made an avenue to where he changed and moved on. And now he's running stars. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah.
50 is running stars at this moment.
Yeah.
You don't turn on stars without an episode of Power Force, Kanan, BMF,
when anything. My cable bill goes up about like $30 a couple months.
Exactly.
Because I actually stopped watching Power and all that stuff. Like, I didn't finish the actual original series.
Right.
But, like, the wife is still watching it, and like, well, I'll see the cable bill come through, and it's up like, you know, $30. Like, oh, she must have turned on stars.
And that's power, right?
And that's all it is. It's power.
And like, to the baby, man, I wish you guidance. Like, I know it's probably a stressful situation that you're in, and a lot of things going on, and you got a lot of stuff on your plate, but you gotta think about the youth and the future of you, right? Because if this track keeps up, man, now they might lock you up behind this fight.
I mean, ain't no might in it. Like, you know, this man's got to do something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is concrete evidence.
And they gonna, the more money he make, the more target he's gonna put on his back.
Exactly. And it's like, yo, and you know, this is where we turn the tide, because like, I really don't like talking about these things.
Yeah.
But like, If you gonna be hood or try to keep the hood around you or something like that, you do need a couple goons around you.
100%.
And you don't need to be throwing those punches, because right. That's what you pay them for.
Exactly. But that's why I say he should have been able to exit stage left. He shouldn't have been in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Like, my goons to jump you. I get my goons out because I'm the moneymaker. I'm the breadwinner of this whole camp. But, man, it's just, man, to see it videotaped, right? We're in a new era now, right?
Everybody's got a camera.
Everybody. The cameraman was in the middle of it.
Yeah.
The cameraman was holding a camera trying to throw a punch. Like, come on.
Everybody. Like, well, here's the thing about it. Let's just talk about the bowling alley. Right. So there's cameras at a bowling alley. There's probably cameras about almost close to every lane.
Right.
Right? So there's a vantage point for just the business in general. Everybody has some sort of a smartphone.
Yep.
Which has Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, the social medias, TikTok, whatever.
Instantaneously.
Everybody can pull out a phone and you can get a vantage point. And people are going to post it on social media.
Yep.
Then from there, once when the government gets involved, because it's going to get legal, they don't have to pull or have to get a search warrant to get somebody's phone.
Nope.
Just pull that shit off the internet.
Pull it right off the internet. That's why I think Facebook is one of the biggest things that work for the government right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff works for the government, man.
Here's another thing, Los. You got TMZ out there lurking. Who is sharks in the... They pay for top-notch footage.
Just to get you. Just to get the story. Just to get it out there.
And here's the thing about it. They were the first ones to leak it. They were the first ones to put it out.
Why not?
Because that's what TMZ does.
TMZ was the first to leak about Kobe's death.
Yes.
What makes you think they weren't going to be the first about this?
TMZ, they fucked... No, that was CNN. My bad. CNN tried to kill off Morgan Freeman like 3 times.
Yo, shout out to Morgan Freeman.
Ayo, man, that man tweets, yo, I ain't dead. Like, the fuck? Stop trying to kill me off.
Shoot, man.
But with the baby, man, and it's like, the baby's albums are fire. The baby's lyrics is dope.
Yes.
This L.A. Leaker shit, like, I saw it today, and I was like, yo, Los, we gotta incorporate the shit somehow.
Yep.
It's fucking fire, and he's like... He has so much talent, and I don't want to see it wasted. I really don't, because look at someone like Bobby Smurda.
We saw what happened to Bobby Smurda, right? Like, he came out, he got to come out, and he's back now. But I haven't seen.
It's not the same.
I haven't seen a video.
There's a video. Like, he's fucking air humping and shit like that.
I saw it. I saw it, but he's like dancing or whatever. But it's if Bobby Smurda never would have went to jail. The follow up from the Sha Money, he would have set himself. He would have been
in possibly New York rap would have been back.
It would have been back, yep.
You know what I mean? But he went down, and it is what it is. But it's unfortunate. Like, I don't want to see that, you know. But it is what it is. You just can't do the shit that you do.
Not right? Everybody can come back going to jail.
You can't, you know. And here's my thing. Like, with the assault, I don't think that. You know, the baby's going to be thrown underneath the jail or anything like that. Like, he'll probably...
I see him getting a year.
Probably, or a year suspended, you know, and he'll get, probation or some shit like that.
Right.
You know, and it is what it is, but still, that's another knock on his fucking record.
And then you got to think, would Nike do a deal with him?
No.
Would, you know, Gatorade?
No.
Think about it, right? Like... Think about all these endorsements that you can get as the baby, right? The baby is a catchy, you know, thing. He can be...
Well, not even that. Like, for him to be able to perform at, you know, any upcoming event or be considered for all these, you know, like Coachella, these other big, you know, concerts that comes up. Like, no.
Nothing, right?
And then there's the dreaded cancel culture, because guess what? They've been trying to get his ass for years.
Yep. Now you just gave him more ammo, the baby.
More ammo.
Thank you.
You're fighting your baby mama's brother.
The uncle.
Of your daughter.
Even if he was wrong. Let's say he came out of his mouth wrong. Don't put your hands on him. Let your team do that.
I mean, the right thing to do is...
to walk away and not do anything.
Walk away, but then also have your... you should have a relationship with your baby mother. Like, yo, tell your brother.
You know what I mean? Stay out of business that he don't know nothing about.
That should be number one.
Right.
But if that's not going to happen, and once again, like I said, if we're thinking about it, if we're going to put on our goon hat, then yeah, you don't need to be throwing that punch. Your camp should. Because that's what you pay them for. That's why they're there.
Yep.
And they'll lay down. They'll have to take the rap, whatever else that goes on. And you'll just pay it, and it is what it is.
Yep.
And that sucks, because at the end of the day, money is the root of all evil.
Yep. DMX was one of the hood niggas that we knew growing up. Right? I don't remember a situation where he was jumping somebody. Good one. Yeah. I don't remember a situation where he was jumping somebody anywhere.
He just had drug issues.
That's it.
That was it.
But he always stayed positive through everything that he was doing.
And they tried to, you know, to society and the government tried him, like, because with the Rough Riders and all that stuff, bunch of thugs on, you know, ATVs and shit like that.
Right.
But other than that, you know, he didn't do anything wrong.
That was all speculation. That was all like, yeah.
He just had a drug habit.
That's it.
That was it.
I'm trying to think, man. But there's been a lot of artists out there that lost their career due to fighting and other stuff, right? Like, you know, Sean lost his stuff when he was with Diddy and that club incident. And, you know, and Mystical, right? Mystical went to jail for his shit. And when he came out, his career wasn't that great.
Helped the bear. And so, you're right. And, like, Sean, even when he came out, like, you know, he tried to drop a couple songs. Mm-hmm. Did not work.
Exactly.
It's just, it sucks, man. It sucks. And the baby, just seeing same day him freestyle so hard on two different beats and then to just do some shit. And once again, that shows, like, with anybody in life and to anybody that may be young listening to this podcast,
right,
you shouldn't. But with that said, it's a prime example to be like, this is any split decision that you make can alter your life.
Alter the rest of your life. Always think about that. So on that note, we're going to dive deep into Black History Fact, and we'll come back with you with some more DaBaby, maybe even some more Alvin Kamara.
Woo!
What's going on, y'all? This is your boy Lowe's coming at you with another Black History Fact of the Week. This one goes out to Horace Pippen. Horace Pippen was a self-taught American artist who painted a range of themes, including scenes inspired by his service in World War I, landscapes, portraits, and biblical subjects. Born February 22nd, 1888, happy birthday to you, sir. He was the first Black artist to be the subject of a monograph. Some best-known works address the U.S. history, slavery, and racial segregation. And the New York Times named him the most important Negro painter. Pippen took up art in the 1920s, initially to rehabilitate his arm, and began painting stretch fabric in 1930s with the ending of the war starting at home. He later explained his creative process. The picture which I have already painted came to me in my mind. And if it's worthwhile while painting the picture, he addressed a range of themes from landscapes and still life to biblical subjects and political statements. Some draw on his personal experience of the turn of the century of domestic life. He was discovered when he submitted two paintings in a local art show at the Chester County Art Association. Pippen painted two self-portraits, including one seated at this easel. His painting of John Brown going to his hanging in 1942 is in the collection of the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts in Philadelphia. It's a part of a trilogy on the abolitionists that's sometimes credited with the igniting of the Civil War. So, that is your Black History Fact of the Week. That goes to Mr. Horace Pippen. Shout out to you, and thank you for your artwork. Peace.
Speaking of the first punch.
What'd you mean?
Alvin Kamara. This hurts me in my heart because he is a supporter of NASCAR. Not anymore.
Thanks for supporting of NASCAR. But what you got for Alvin Kamara?
I mean, you know a little bit more about it than me, but he got in trouble around the Pro Bowl time.
Okay, this is about 3-4 weeks ago, something like that.
Summer,
right?
Give or take.
Okay.
So
what happened?
Just going inside with the baby, right? Like being a celebrity of a status, you get into a debacle, right? If you will, and it gets to the point where you get so provoked where you need to throw the first punch.
Okay, so apparently they were waiting on an elevator or something, and this guy walked past and started talking shit to Ivan Kamara, right? Or at least that's what the report said. Excuse me. The report says that he started talking some shit or something like that to Ivan Kamara, and Ivan Kamara punched him, and him and his entourage not only punched him, but they beat him up pretty good, fracturing the orbital bone in his eye.
Damn. Yeah.
Or something like that. That's mm-hmm. I think that when that burst, the you entire with eye the socket is red. And shit. Yeah. That's pretty rough, right? Yeah. But here we are, another millionaire who has the New Orleans Saints at his feet.
And Alvin Kamara isn't to my knowledge, he isn't a bad guy. He doesn't.
He hasn't gotten. I don't remember him being in the news.
Exactly. At least for nothing negative, you
know. So apparently, the statement of Alvin Kamara says that the guy tried to like run away or something, like he wasn't involved. But they have video footage of the elevator, of the scene that happened, and that doesn't match up well. So my question to you is, though, the incident happened early Saturday, right? They figured out that it was Kamara Sunday. Sunday was the Pro Bowl, but they allowed Kamara to play in the Pro Bowl before getting arrested. Do you think that should have happened that way?
Sin City, let's go. To answer your question, no. I do think that the town of Las Vegas, Nevada does things that is just questionable.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
But I get it. He's there. He's a draw. And here's the thing about it. If they take him out, now, and this is probably some NFL shit too. If he gets arrested on site, and he doesn't get to play in the Pro Bowl.
Right.
Who is supposed to substitute in for?
There's a number two or number three running back.
True, but also the number two and number three running back gets there a lot of time to play.
That's true. Very much true.
Not to take over and grab somebody else's time. So they would have to find whoever the backup was. Like, hey, can you get here? You know what I mean? Like,
so should the law suffer behind a sporting event? Is that what you're telling me right now?
It sounds like the sporting event is bringing a lot of money to the town.
That sounds like that sounds like the baby, right? Won't get arrested on stage. They wait for him to come off stage in order to arrest him. Right? If he gets in a fight with a fan, right? Let's say an artist getting a fight with a fan or something like that. Or something got worse at the Travis Scott performance, right? When that was the last thing where people got injured or hurt or whatever. That they will allow them to finish their performance before they arrest them. I don't know if I agree with that.
I mean, do you want to? There's a little bit of questionable humility that comes out of that, right? Like,
100%.
Because if you end the show, then some niggas got to get reimbursed. You understand? but
I feel like that should legit come from Alvin Kamara's pockets, right? Like that, but doesn't that make you sure you don't throw that punch?
I mean, yeah. As far as the NFL is concerned, he should be fine. He will get fine. Okay. And he'll have to serve some. But like, you know, do I think that he should have played? No. He shouldn't have. Especially if it's been confirmed that it was him prior to actually suiting up and going to go play.
Right. Because you got to think the police officers got to have their ducks in a row before they even walk up to Allegiant Stadium, right? Like, not only are they going to get a star NFL running back for years, but they have to walk in with, millions. I wouldn't say millions.
And millions.
I would probably say thousands and thousands of people that's in that stands to take their prime love for that running back off the field, right? That's a hard pill to swallow.
But to what?
Swallow.
Okay.
That's a hard pill to take because you got to make sure that you are correct. And I'm sure that the Las Vegas police did what they were supposed to do in making sure they're right.
The Las Vegas Raiders, look at how all the fucked up shit that they've done all year.
That's true. They, Yo, Vegas has been very unlucky to NFL players. Yo.
They're probably going to move the team. Like, if this new head coach is McDaniels is the new head coach.
I think that's
so. My thing is, like, and we're kind of getting off topic, but like with that team, if this new year,
yeah,
excuse me, with McDaniels, and they don't straight up and fly right and have zero fucking criminal cases and all that shit, it'll be a win. But that's the thing about it. And, like, that was my biggest fear of them going to Vegas.
My biggest fear was that...
There's too much temptation.
My biggest fear is that all the gambling goes on in Vegas. And I felt like the Vegas, if they don't already have a hand in sports, they're definitely going to have a hand in it now.
I mean, what all else do they need? A baseball team and a fucking basketball team?
Yes. Yes, and now
NASCAR races out there.
Now with sports bets and FanDuel and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff is out now, like, this thing is about to get very, very different.
I just think that the organization has, if players keep getting in trouble out in Vegas, they're going to have to reconsider it. Or they definitely need to have a zero tolerance yes. for anybody.
Yes.
DUI, assault, whether domestic or, you know, mm-hmm. you're out in the streets.
Speeding,
all that shit. Zero tolerance. You're done.
On the flip side, though, what about the fans? Right, the fans need to act right.
That's where you, as a player, should always have some type of camp around you, bodyguard, to remove you out of those situations.
Shout out to Adam Pac-Man Jones. Right,
he never had a fucking.
But when bodyguard. He went to Dallas, Jerry Jones paired him with somebody. It was like, this is your
guy. That
was
Dez Bryant.
That was Dez Bryant. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
When he went to die, when Dez Bryant.
Because that was after Dez Bryant slapped his mama.
Shout out to the Cowboy historian, right? But
it's my team, so I can talk about it.
So when Dez Bryant ended up in Dallas, Jerry Jones surrounded him with somebody to watch him at all times.
Yeah.
Because they knew he slapped his mama, right?
If you slap your mama, you slap anybody else.
That's true. That's very true. But it's at a point now. It's just like.
And I hate to make Dez Bryant sounds like cattle, but Jerry Jones was protecting his investment.
As he should.
You know?
So, but at what point does. I don't know. Like, maybe because I don't have the millions, I can honestly say, like.
10 millions.
Maybe because I don't have the millions, I can honestly say, like, at what point. Do you have to be to not get in a physical altercation with somebody because of something, right? In the report that we just read from CNN, it said that the guy just called his team ugly. His him and the person that he was with ugly, and all of a sudden a fight breaks out.
Well, now you got to think, you know, they're out, they're partying, they're in Vegas, there's liquor, there's drugs involved. It's just the recipe for disaster, and you know this, Liz.
Drew, I call you ugly 50 times in a day,
but it's
bro.
Not true. You just need to look in the fucking mirror.
See? You see how that works?
Yeah.
That's how it should work, right?
True.
That right there, what we just did, that should be how it works.
But look at how many years we've been doing that. To somebody off the street, it's like, yo, like what?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I would just throw $1 million at him. Is that weird?
No, I wouldn't throw money at him.
I'm ugly? Here's $1 million. Am I still ugly? Here's another $1 million. Am I still ugly? Here's another $1 million.
Now you're broke because you're doing something stupid.
Let me go run in this Pro Bowl right quick. Make another $1 million. I throw that one at you too.
Nah, bro. Nah. I just think it's one of those things where it's like, all right, just jaw, talk your shit. You know what I mean? And then just walk the fuck off. And, yeah. and if it gets to the point, your bodyguard, hey.
If somebody walking up on you.
Remove that motherfucker.
If somebody's walking up on you, threatening you and all that kind of stuff, that's cool. But if y'all just waiting on the elevator, like, you know, like, just get on the elevator and just go up to your penthouse, call that man's girlfriend because she's probably like 20 yards away.
Yeah.
And take her up to the elevator with you. Like, I shouldn't have said that on live. But
the debacle.
But no, seriously, like. At a certain point, we got to get a conference, right? A conference call between people that's been in the game for a long time and the people that are just going through it. And they should have like a sit down.
The NFL does it, though, when you're a rookie.
They do it?
They have someone come in there and talk to the rookies that's about to get drafted. I'm like, yo, you're about to, your life is about to change, and you don't need to do that. Remember, Herb Dean. I mean, not Herb Dean, Herm Edwards.
Herm Edwards, yeah.
Dan-a-nant, you know what I mean? Yeah, Stephen A. Smith went in there, like, all types of shit. Like, yo, y'all don't need to be, and but I get it, that, to where Alvin Kamara is now in his life, like, yeah. He had that same talking to him when he got into the league.
Right.
But to where he is now in his life, he's an entrepreneur.
Yes.
He does like cold press juiceries and shit like that in New Orleans. I know he has some charities. He's now dabbling in the sponsorship as far as NASCAR. So he's doing things. But you can't sit here and fucking risk all that shit just because somebody called you fucking ugly.
Yeah. This guy, I hope there's more to the story. Right. But we'll even see. If somebody call you the N-word, right? Let's say they just flat out call you like nigger or something like that.
Your mama. But you know, I'm sharp with it with the tongue, so it right. is what it is. You know what I mean?
Because the N-word is probably the worst thing you can call an African-American descent person in this country, right? Next to that, or a black woman, you call her a B, right? But you can't, you just can't fight these people. These people want a rise out of you. They want to trigger you. They want to get under your skin. That goes to you, the baby, whoever else we talk about in this episode. Don't let these people get under your skin. I know it's easier said than done. I know that you guys are under a lot of stress. Damn, I fucked that all up. I know y'all are under a lot of stress. But I want y'all to know, like, yo, you got to do better. Like, because there's millions and millions of people that look up to you and want to be just like you. There's a 10-year-old kid running around in New Orleans talking about, I want to be Alvin Kamara when I grow up. And now you got this on your title, on your name. Hire goons.
It's bad to say that, though. You got to remember, it's bad to say
that. It's bad to say that, but if you really want to throw punches, have somebody else throw the punch for you.
I agree. I do. You know, like, I don't condone it, but I do agree. If it has to get to that point to where you have to be that connected to the streets.
Yeah.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah. Right.
So, you ready to jump to this Beer and Cigar of the Week?
Beer and Cigar of the Week. Let's do it.
Woo woo. Must be time for the Beer and Cigar of the Week. But before we do, how about you revive your life? A super supplement that's been around since the dawn of time has been reimagined for your modern lifestyle. That powerful antioxidant found in the skin of grapes is resveratrol. What is resveratrol? Have you ever heard it to be said that drinking red wine is actually healthy for you? Instead of having to drink 100 bottles of wine just to get enough resveratrol in your system, Vive has concentrated into a nice, easy, alcohol-free capsule for you, and it helped with inflammation too. Combined with 100% pure CBD, Vive has all the ingredients to help you live a lifestyle primed for health, wellness, and longevity. Hey, Big Los, give the people the website and also the code.
What up, DNH family? Go to takevive.com. That's take VYV. And in the promo code, type in DNHpod15 for 15% off your next purchase. Takevive.com.
So it's time for that perfect time of the week. Favorite time of the show? It's the Beer and Cigar of the Week. I didn't belch this time, so take that for what it is. All right. So remember last week I did the Grand Reserva 2011.
Right.
This week we're doing the Grand Reserva 2012.
Oh, shucks. We're going up a year.
Shout out to Mr. Davis. The Grand Reserva number 5, 2012, uses Nicaraguan and Costa Rican fillers, along with Nicaraguan binder and wrapper leaves. It was released in November of 2018 after an extended aging period after rolling. The Grand Reserva series is reportedly made using the best 10% of leaf from the annual crop, which is then aged 7 to 8 years prior to rolling. The road cigars are aged another 4 to 6 years, and this release was aged even longer. It comes in 5 sizes, each packed in a 20-count box. There will be a total of about 200,000 sticks released. And this vintage, the cigar, is supposed to be really good. It's going to be full bodied. It's still going to give that sweet cedar taste from last time, but it's going to be a little bit more intense. So year over year, I guess they try to just drive that whole smell and smoke home. So
nice.
Okay. Yeah, legit. Like, smells the same. Smells great. You know.
I love the wrapper of this thing, man. Yeah. That shit is a phenomenal.
Definitely like that. Definitely like that. So, all right. So, let's hop into the beer. So, depending on when this episode is released, it should be either the last week of February or the first week of March.
Okay.
So, with that, if it is the first week of March, we're just going to do an encore of Black History Month.
Okay.
Because Black History does not end in February. It keeps on going.
Keeps it rolling.
Keeps it rolling. So, with that, we are going to do another Black is Beautiful. And if this does drop in first week of March, then we will definitely have a change next week.
Right.
All right. So that is my promise to you all. But with that, we have the Unknown Brewing Company, which, Los, this one sits close to our heart. It's a brewery out of Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hey.
7.5%, 16-ounce can. It's an oatmeal stout with peanut butter and cocoa.
Okay.
Their charity that they actually donated to was Helping Hands of Charlotte.
Okay. Ah, we worked with Helping Hands a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what's up. I guess it's my turn doing the review on it. You ready
for it? Of course, yes.
All right, let's do it. So, this is an oatmeal stout. You said 7%?
Yes.
The flavor palette of this beer is a little different. When I first took that very initial sip, I got the shivers when I first did it, right? But then you said the peanut butter and the cocoa, right? I do taste a Reese peanut butter cup kind of taste on the back end that gives you the cocoa and the peanut butter. Although, sadly enough, this isn't one of my favorite stouts that we've had. The one last week, phenomenal. This one, it's okay, but it's not, you know, knock your socks off goodness, right? 0 to 5, I give it an even 2, maybe a 2.5. I'd be generous with a 2.5. The stout is a little bit more complex than it needs to be. As a stout, but it's the oatmeal. I think it's the oats in the stout that makes it not as good. Don't want to bash the brewing company of this beer or anything like that. I don't want to make it negative or anything like that, but it's just not for my flavor palette per se, if that makes sense. Some of you guys out there might love it, right? It's a to each his own type of deal. So yeah, I give it an even 2.5. What do I pair it with? I pair it with, I don't want to do this 2 weeks in a row, but I can't pair it with anything because I don't see myself drinking this. Like, I'm not trying to be rude or nothing. This just isn't my cup of tea when it comes to stouts. And that's just my flavor, my personal flavor palette for this drink.
Mm-hmm.
Do I get the cocoa? Yes, I do get cocoa. I do get peanut butter. I do get, you know, those different things. I get the oat stout. You know, I get the oats that it used in the brewing process. That almost did not roll off my tongue the way I wanted it to.
Okay.
But you know where I was going with this. But yeah, that's my view on this beer. Drew?
If I was to critique a little bit, I wouldn't necessarily call this a stout. I'd call it a porter.
I can see that.
The liquid itself is a little
thinner.
Yeah. Is the best way to say it.
Yeah.
And that's fine. You know what I mean? It's still in a stout range.
Yeah.
Do you crank up peanut butter? Do you crank up cocoa? You know what I mean? If it's an oatmeal stout, there's definitely oats in there. Do you crank that up? And I probably would, just to create a little bit more body.
Mm-hmm.
But and that's fine. You know what I mean? Like to each their own. The beer is presented for a very good cause.
100%.
So let's keep that in mind. But the 7.5%, it tastes a little bit spot on, is mm-hmm. the best way to say it. If I was to pair this with anything, you know, it'd probably be something probably some Reese cups. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I would probably be that cliche, you know, Instagram influencer and put like, you know, cut Reese cup in half and put it on the side of the glass or something like that and go from there. I do think a Reese cup or something like that would have actually help accentuate the flavor a little bit more. It's almost like how the Flying Dog Dead Rye Summer Ale is. Well, it's now a sour. But you would add Old Bay to it or eat it with something with Old Bay and it kind of bring that flavor out a little bit more. So I would definitely do something chocolate Reese cups dessert, that kind
of
thing. Or
something more simple of a Blue Moon and an orange peel.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's just something that's going to complement the liquid and kind of just bring that flavor out for you.
Right.
So, you know, if I was to score it, I would give it, I see your 2.5. Yeah. I really do. I think the more that we progress in the year, I think we're going to have primarily the same type of judgment.
I want to have some few discussions.
I do.
Yeah.
I really do. But I just think that, you know, our palate, we've been drinking together for so long.
Yeah.
Is that our palates are going to get in line. You know what I mean? Like, there's some, I think IPAs for me and you is going to be a little bit different.
I can see that.
The stouts we're probably going to be in line on.
Yeah.
But other than that, this has been your Beer and Cigar of the Week.
Doing one time for me.
Woo! Woo!
So, you touched on something, right? And I literally just sat here and did the math in my head. You said we've been drinking together for a long time. We've been drinking together since 2008, Drew.
Stop dating me, dude. Like, what the fuck?
That is 20 years of drinking. Right? Almost 20 years of drinking. We got about 6 more to go. But I feel old saying that now. Like, we're the old heads now and around the block. Can you believe that?
Shut up, you old motherfucker.
We the unks.
Yeah. We are. We are. And I will drink every young motherfucker underneath the table, too. All right?
Challenge.
God damn it. Fuck you. And respect your elders, goddamn.
But definitely always respect, drink responsibly, respect the road when you're drinking, please.
And respect others when you're drinking, so don't get too belligerent and start talking shit and pissing people off to the point to where either you get the first punch thrown on you, or you have to throw the first punch on somebody.
That's true.
That is true. So, with that, we are getting to the close to the end of the show. For me, Andrew Dill, Facebook. Shoot me a friend request. I'll accept it. Django _ nerd. That is for Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. As far as the brewery is concerned, Liquid Intrusion Brewing Company. www.libcobeer.com. Go in there, see what everything that we got going on. Sign up to our newsletter under the contact section so you can always be in the know for everything that we're trying to do liquid-wise. Libco 2021, that's for Instagram and Twitter, also TikTok. I want to give a special shout out to Uncle Doug of the Sports Wagon Podcast. By now, the episode should have rolled out. We did a NASCAR pre-show.
Nice.
So NASCAR is brand new. Daytona 500 is already passed, and we're actually doing They've introduced new cars.
Okay.
So, you know, it was a big thing, and he definitely wanted to do it. It's kind of an annual thing that we got going on. So I try to check in with him, you know, 3 times out of the year before his show.
Okay.
And then also with it being Black History Month, it should be out right about now. We did another skit, well, not necessarily a skit, but a script together, talking about black drivers in NASCAR.
Nice.
So from Wendell Scott going all the way down. And then also, rest in peace to Wendell Scott Jr. He is the son of Wendell Scott Sr., who was one of the first drivers that was African-American wise.
Nice. I got to do it.
You do?
I think I already did it. Yeah.
You probably have.
I did the Black History Fact on him. Nice.
With that,
we got to get Uncle Dub on the show.
We do.
We got to get Uncle Dub on the show. Uncle Dub, if you're listening to this episode, send us your calendar dates. Let us know if you can come on this show, and we can actually talk NASCAR the entire episode.
Hey, I'm here for it. You know what I mean? We can sit here and watch old NASCAR laps and all that stuff.
Let's
you know, what they say, raise hell, praise Dale, goddamn.
Let's do it.
Los, where can the people find you?
You can find me on IG as BigLos_703. That's BIGLOS_703. And then on Facebook, Carlos Murray. But like I said, next week you should see the Twitter and the TikTok up.
And then from there, maybe Uncle Dub, Los, if we're feeling froggy, let's go to a race.
I'm down for that.
I'll supply the beers.
Yep.
Because it's BYOB.
It is?
It is.
I've never been to a NASCAR race before.
And I've always told people, like, if you want to become a fan of NASCAR, go to a race.
Okay.
You're going to have a fucking hell of a time.
I am a fan of NASCAR. I'm not a major fan of NASCAR, but I am a fan of NASCAR nonetheless. My driver was Jeff Gordon growing up. Mm-hmm. Back when he was driving a rainbow car, until he turned
the
it over
Rainbow
to
Wars.
Until he turned it over to the fire when the car was on fire. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, let's do it.
I got you. All right, as far as the podcast, D&H Podcast, that's for Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Any questions or concerns, you want to be a part of the show, you want to feature yourself, feature your product, you want to recommend beers, cigars, you got any questions or concerns, anything over 30 characters, constructive criticism is always welcome. Email us, dnhpodcast2019@gmail.com. Be a friend, tell a friend, like, share, and subscribe our podcast. We thank you so much for that. All support is welcome. And until then, till the next time, folks, you all have a great week. We appreciate you. May the liquid always prevail. And lastly, peace, love, and crop circles.
Do it one time for me.
Yee.